Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
Back in the spring, when Pastor Dan invited me to come and fill the pulpit over the summer months, I answered rather quickly. I didn't really have to pray about it very long. I enjoy so much coming to your church and having the opportunity to share the word. The weeks have been interesting, have they not? As we have dealt with the coronavirus, we dealt with personal issues of the throat and voice that has not been at its best. And yet the presence of God has been real as we've come together to worship. And for that, we give him praise. And so today, I just say thank you for the opportunity to be your preaching pastor this summer and to share with you from the Word of God each Lord's Day. On the first Sunday that I was here, we talked about a series that would evolve around the theme of deeper things. Today I want to talk to you in our final message on something that I think is deeper even beyond my own personal comprehension. Difficult for me to communicate with you because I don't understand it to the degree that I want to understand. I'm talking to you today about the peace of God. I want to base our thoughts today and hopefully provoke myself and you to think more deeply on the topic of what we're referring to when we think of the peace of God. I want to base our thoughts today on an Old Testament promise that probably many of you could commit from memory. It's found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. It goes like this. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. In the New International Version, it's worded only slightly different. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. The following verse adds another insight that is helpful. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord, is the rock eternal. And I want to complement the Old Testament promise with a verse that comes out of Paul's letter to the Philippians, which in many ways is another promise as well. Let me read the two verses to you from that passage, verses 6 and 7 of chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the phrase reinforces my thoughts at the beginning. A peace that transcends human understanding. There is only a degree to which we come to understand that peace. And I trust that as we look at the Word, we'll be provoked to think of it more deeply than we have ever thought before. The passage in the book of Isaiah was written in one of the most troubling times in the nation of Israel. And Isaiah gives it as a word from the Lord to encourage Israel as they face many trials. It was in one of Israel's darkest hours. And I want to say as we begin that I believe that this is so relevant for today, because I believe that even in America we're living in a dark hour in which the peace of God should be something sought after by every one of us. The passage is saying to us, even in the darkest hours, we can have peace, a peace in the midst of the storm, and a peace that addresses the three major problems that most of us as human beings have: the problem of doubt, the problem of fear, and the problem of worry. Let me begin our thinking by presenting to you two illustrations, one found in the Bible and one found in the history of the church. In the Bible, when we come to the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi makes a reference to Levi, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, who headed the tribe of the Levites. And it says simply of the Levi's life in Malachi 2, verses 5 and 6. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him, and this called for reverence, and he revered me, and he stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was ever found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many away from sin. He walked with me in peace. Something that all of us should pursue after, to be able to walk daily with the Lord, experiencing his peace. Way back in the year of 1736, there was a boat that left England that was bound for the colony of Georgia in what we know now as our own country, America. In the process of that journey, a ferocious storm occurred, covered the ship, poured in between the decks on the boat, and as if the boat was virtually swallowed up with water, and it appeared to be headed to ultimate disaster. A terrible screaming began among all of the passengers, particularly those that spoke English. But there was a small group of Moravian missionaries aboard that boat. They were having their daily time of worship, and they were singing the hymns of the church. And while others yelled and screamed, they continued to sing their songs. And one of the passengers on that boat was so impressed by their peace in the midst of the storm that he began to pursue that which the Moravian missionaries possessed, an inward peace in their relationship with God. And that man was John Wesley. In one of John Wesley's diaries, he wrote this account of that experience. In the midst of the psalm wherewith their service began, the sea broke, split the main sail in pieces, covered the ship, poured in between the decks, as if the great deep had already swallowed us up. A terrible scream began among those of us who spoke English, but the Moravians calmly continued to sing. I asked one of them afterwards, "Were you not afraid?" He answered, "I thank God, no." I asked, "Were not your women and your children afraid?" And he replied mildly, "No, our women and our children are not afraid to die." So what are we talking about in this peace? Peace in the midst of the storm. The peace of God, not only when we need it, but an inward state of our spiritual soul in relationship to God and life that constantly knows a disposition of our spirit that speaks to us daily that we abide in peace. Now, in the Old Testament, the word peace is a familiar word that we would know, the word shalom. And it meant more than just the absence of conflict, but it was a state of the soul that was at peace and right with God, as it was right with man living on the face of the earth. Over 250 times the word appears in the Old Testament. When we come to the New Testament, the concept of the peace of God is mentioned 7 times in which God himself is referred to as the God of peace. And so when we put our trust in God, we're putting our trust in one who gives to us a peace that passeth understanding, a peace beyond human comprehension, a state of the soul in which all of us can abide. Let me give some characteristics quickly from our text. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Now the idea in the verse of perfection means completeness. It is a peace that addresses every issue of our life, at every stage in our life, at every day of our life, at every hour and moment of our life. It is perfect. It is an all-embracing peace. It is a sustaining peace that God wants each of us to experience. Secondly, it is not only a perfect peace, it's a perpetual peace. Thou wilt keep. And the word keep itself speaks very strongly of the keeping of our lives every day, every moment, through every experience. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. He never withdraws his peace from us. And in our text that we read from the book of Philippians, and the God of peace will keep you. Day by day, we can experience that abiding presence. Thirdly, it's a powerful peace. Paul said in the letter to the Philippians that the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. Now there's a duplicity there in the word keeping. It is a peace that keeps and guards our mind while it calms our hearts. Now let me elaborate on that just briefly. It first of all guards our minds. It allows us to think positively of thoughts with a sense of assurance and confidence no matter what we're facing on a daily basis. I don't know how many times as a pastor, people would come to my study, they would pour out their heart from some tragic experience to which they were passing. And the comment would often end with this, I just don't know how we're going to get through this. That is not from a person that is experiencing God's peace, because they know in their minds that the God of peace will not forsake them, but will see them through the tragic experience through which they may be passing. And so the right response may be, I don't know how we're going to get through it, but God does. And my trust is in him, and I know that he will see us through. I think my wife and I have experienced that somewhat this summer as we tried to maintain the schedule that has been given us to keep us busy on a weekly basis. And yet when she came down with the virus and was diagnosed as being a victim, it was like, I don't know how we're going to get through this, but we are. And now today, without any symptoms of the virus, we look forward to the months that lie ahead and look back and know that every day of experience, God was with us and ultimately saw us through. It not only guards our minds, it calms our hearts and gives us peace. Lastly, it is a peace that is pure. There can be no room for jealousy, envy, discontent, uncontrolled temper, selfishness, pride, or intolerance of the soul. When we're filled with the peace of God, we not only desire and work toward peace with him, we always stay living in peace with others, never desirous of jealousy or envy or discontent to find lodging within our home, our hearts. Peace, real peace, abides in the heart that is pure. Now, as we get toward the end of the message, the passage gives us conditions that need to be met for us to experience this peace. First of all, thou wilt keep him in peace whose mind is stayed on thee. there's something in the Word, and I want to illustrate it with several passages, that highlights the importance of the fixing of our mind to work on our thought life on a daily basis, to where we're thinking on the positive. For example, in Philippians 3:19, Paul, in a negative sense, speaks to the enemies of the cross as those whose minds are set on earthly things. But then he concludes, "But our citizenship is in heaven." And so immediately we see the contrast between earthly thoughts and heavenly thoughts. And sometimes we hear people say, "Well, he is so heavenly minded, he is of no earthly good." But we can turn that around. There's so many believers that are so earthly minded, they are no heavenly good, to set their minds on the things that God wants to communicate to us. In fact, in Philippians, in the verses that follow that which we read, Paul gives a list of positive virtues, and he ends that by saying, if there be any virtue or any praise, think on these things. In Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, twice Paul says to us, set your hearts on things above, on Christ who is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now, what's the correlation between fixing our minds upon him who is above, seated at the right hand of God the Father? If that is where Jesus is and the Bible tells us so, what's he doing there but interceding in behalf of those who would put their trust in him? And so as we set and focus our minds, we fix our eyes upon Jesus, we live out our daily lives with a mind focused on heavenly things. Something that I have communicated recently to people to whom I've had the privilege of speaking, I jokingly say that no church has ever invited me to come and sing a solo. And I wish they would have, and I wish I could have, but probably the reason they haven't invited me is that isn't my gift. And I don't think you would want to experience the torture of such listening. But you know, I question sometimes that I've ever met anyone my age that sings more than I do. Now, no one hears a lot of the singing that I do. In fact, most of it they don't hear. But I get up in the morning singing. There's an old gospel song that says it well. It's called Wonderful Jesus, and the chorus goes simply, "Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, in my heart he implanteth a song of deliverance, of courage and strength. In my heart he implanteth a song." You know, I believe that people that live in the Word, and we're going to mention that in a moment, people that live in the Word can get up in the morning singing. Other people may not hear them, but in their mind and their heart, there is a song going over and over. And I've shared this with one of my closest friends, and now when I see him, I say to him, "What song are you singing today?" I've got up this morning singing on the theme of what we're talking about today. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight flows a melody sweeter than song, and celestial like frames it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. And so God wants us to set our minds upon heavenly things in order to experience his peace. Secondly, Paul says in that Philippian passage that peace that guards us is preceded by that in everything we are not anxious, but we are praying our petitions with thanksgiving to God on a daily basis. I have really come to believe that prayer is it's more than just a single event where we get on our knees and recite a prayer, or we stand on our feet and bow our heads and pray. It's the praying without ceasing. It's part of life. And I often say to the Lord, "Lord, I just commit my thoughts today as my prayers." But there's something that I've been noticed experience through the years in pastoring people and through my own experience. A lot of us are very good at taking our burdens to the Lord and laying them at His feet. And then when we walk away, we just pick them back up again and take them with us. Just as if God is inadequate to handle it with our assistance. Do you remember the gospel song that says, simply take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there? And that's the prayer and petition that we need to experience, that we leave those at the feet of Jesus, trusting in Him and knowing that He's capable to do more than handle. I got to hear your sermon for last week, and that is re-echoed in my mind, that God is sufficient in all things, and we can trust Him. That's number three. We not only set our mind, we not only pray with praise and thanksgiving, we simply put our trust in the Lord. Now, it's interesting that the passage tells us who we're trusting in. By just defining the God whom we trust, in the King James version of that passage, it is that we put our trust in Him who is the giver of our peace, who is the Lord forever, the Rock eternal. The Rock, something that is permanent, something that is stationary, something that can be durable through all kinds of experiences, a Rock that is everlasting strength, and it is in Him that we trust. But lastly, it is the condition that great peace is given to those who love His law, found in Psalm 119, verses 165. I want to speak to you just a moment. If you don't have a habit of being in the Word on a daily basis, you might say to me, well, there's so much I don't understand about the Bible. We'll start out in more simple passages, like the Gospel of Mark or the Gospel of John. Then go to the book of Philippians, and the practicality of that verse will be more easy to comprehend. Begin at the right place. But secondly, I hear so often the objection, I just admit that I don't have a love for the Word of God like I ought to have. Simple answer to that, ask Him for it. In your prayer, just say, Lord, give me a love for your Word. And then look out. Because when I prayed that prayer, God answered that prayer to where I can't get enough of His Word. And being in the profession that I'm in, I spend most of my time, particularly the mornings, in the Word. But I don't do it to meet a requirement. I do it because it is sweeter than honey on the honeycomb, as the psalmist said. Ask the Lord to give you a love for His Word. Now quickly, let me bring this all to a close. I want to share a story with you that took me years to understand, so it may take you as long. I was pastoring in Terre Haute, and every year we had a church-wide family event where we had a big picnic and an evening of fun with a few moments of quiet meditation and challenge. It was one that our church looked forward to, and the site of that was out in the country where they had done strip mining and had left behind a number of ponds. And one of our members owned that property, had a second house built there, and he had a number of things that kids could play once they came, even had a go-kart track that went around one of the ponds. Now, if you know anything about go-karts, you will know that they are loud. Very, very loud. Well, think about that for a moment. I was out in downtown Terre Haute one day, headed toward that event, and I saw one of the most godly men that I ever knew in Terre Haute. He was a worker with Volunteers of America, and they called him Captain, as though he had that rank in the Volunteer Army of Volunteers of America. And so we affectionately called him Cappy. And I meet him on the street and I say to him, Cappy, the event is coming when we have our church-wide picnic. I'm sure you and your wife will want to come. I'm going to look forward to you being there. And I watched him as his countenance changed, and he kind of bowed his head and finally looked up to me and he said, we won't be coming. And being the person that I am, I had to press the issue. And so I said, Captain, we're going to miss you and your wife. Why? Have you got a conflict? And he said, well, not with any other event or any other person. He said, I just have a conflict with the noise. The noise the go-karts make. And I said, I don't understand. I don't particularly like noise either, but I don't let it keep me from going to an event. And he just said to me, I shy away from anything that interferes with my peace. I walked away and I don't know, that just didn't ring true to me. I didn't fully understand, but I do today. There is a sense in which there are so many distractions in the world. And there might even come a time in a person's life when peace is one of those disturbances that disturbs that state of peace that we know and find in Christ that is beyond human comprehension. Let me close by giving you this little thought. It's almost a daily but a lifetime schedule in the scriptures. Psalm 48 verse 8, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Can you identify? I go to bed every night, put my head on the pillow, and now go to sleep without troubled thoughts or discontent, because I'm at peace with God and I'm trusting in Him. Psalm 5:3, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you. Get this, and I wait in expectation. I commit my day to you in prayer. I trust you to see me through whatever comes. And I live with a sense of expectation, not only to see you at work, but to see your hand present guiding me in my life. And then in Genesis 15:15, speaking of Abraham, you, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. Almost 80, ready for the Lord's return, ready to meet him when he calls me home, but not anxious. And I want to end in that same way, to go to my fathers in peace and to be buried at a good old age. There are disturbing factors, and they're highlighted in this passage with which I leave you. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. I don't know to what degree you pull all of this together in your own thinking, but my challenge with which I leave you is that God so wants to be a part of our life that we can live out every day and every circumstance with a positive fix of our mind and trust in Him who will see us through. And I have come to say that the glue that holds my life together, as I get up and face every day, knowing that I am not going to experience anything that God and I together can't handle. Peace that passeth all understanding. I want to close with a benediction. And as I bow to pray it, you may know it and know it well. Just pray it out loud with me, will you? It comes in the Bible from Numbers chapter 6 and verse 2. Hear the benediction of our time together today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And Father, I pray that every listener today will come to experience that abiding peace that goes far beyond our human comprehension, and will praise you for Christ's sake. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.